Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Onto the treasurer's report. Everyone had a chance to review the treasurer's report? There are no questions on the treasurer's report. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there support?
AJ motioned it. I did AJ and then Bradley with the support.
Okay, I can do that too. Bob, would you call the roll, please?
Bradley?
Yes.
Kish?
Yes.
I'm a yes. Oprita?
Yes.
Bruckner?
Yes.
Armbruster?
Yes.
And Crawford?
Yes. Bob, do we have bills tonight?
We don't. I apologize. Our account clerk was ill today, and we got a couple of whoppers in this week. So rather than mess up all the work that she has done by me trying to do it, I'm going to defer to her to clean it up tomorrow.
Okay. We'll move on to new business. Item number one is our annual permit with the Road Commission.
This is the same one we do every year, right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
I'll make the motion. Okay. I'll support.
Okay. And Bob, would you call the roll, please?
Kish?
Yes.
I'm a yes. Oprita?
Yes.
Bruckner?
Yes.
Armbruster?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Motion carries. Item number two is the same. It's an annual permit. Resolution for the MDOT right-of-way work.
Motion to approve.
Support.
Any questions?
So on the one in the county, there was no fee for the annual permit. Is there?
There isn't with MDOT either.
Yeah,
yeah. Bob, would you call the roll, please?
I'm a yes. Oprita?
Yes.
Bruckner?
Yes.
Armbruster?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
And Kish?
Yes.
Item number four is the letters of interest for reappointment to the Zoning Board of Appeals from Dean Mylar and Alan Eisenhower. This is a three-year term.
I'll move it forward.
I'll support.
Okay. Bob, would you call the roll, please?
Oprita?
Yes.
Bruckner?
Yes.
Armbruster?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Kish?
Yes.
And I'm a yes.
Motion carries. Item number five is our annual agreement with BMJ.
Is that their rating on the...
No, it's Bob's.
Okay. The one question I had was with the limits of liability. Are you concerned about that, Bob, that it's at $500,000, or is that just something you're pointing out?
Just pointing out. I don't have any huge concerns. Just, it was honestly more questions about grammar and things like that, and just making sure I understood stuff.
Does this have a retainer attached to it?
No, we do not pay a retainer. But one of the things that BMJ does is if they're representing the township, they don't bid on engineering projects that would be built into the township.
I'll move it forward.
Support.
It's been moved and supported. Bob, would you call the roll, please?
Bruckner?
Yes.
Armbruster?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Kish?
Yes.
I'm a yes. And Oprita?
Yes.
Motion carries. Item number six is the recommendation from BMJ Engineering after we've gone to bid on the water line service for Parker Road between Key Wadden and Kerrigan. We did have 5 bidders for this project, and the low bid for the PVC water main is $1,058,373. And as I said earlier, funding of this, you could pay for it directly out of DPW funds, but that would leave you with about $1 million in reserve. I don't think that's the wisest thing to do, because as we know, with water and sewer lines, repairs can cost tens of thousands of dollars. One way to fund it would be to bond, say 80% of it, and 20% use the maintenance improvement or the operating, which would be approximately $200,000 plus the $50,000 from the state, and bond it out. Another option would be to bond it and then use some of the ARPA funds to do the 20% to reduce the bond, so that we're bonding it for less than $1 million. And then, of course, the state $50,000. Those are the ways that we can pay for it.
Why are we not using the entire amount of money we're getting from this COVID hit?
Because I'm waiting to see what happens with our revenue for 2021 compared to the revenue of 2020. And those are calculations that if we did not have an increase in revenue more than 4.1% for 2021 over 2020, then the ARPA funds flexibility using them becomes far more flexible than what they are currently. And unfortunately, there has been no updates that I've seen since June 30th of how the ARPA funds can be used. So
Nothing significant, just restating the couple ways they've explained it so far.
Mr. Supervisor, if I might have a question to you. If we bond, now your comment always says, well, the interest rate is just wonderful. That's not my concern. If I buy a car and the interest rate is wonderful, I still have to pay for the car if it's $60,000 or $70,000. How and who will be paying off this bond?
It would be paid out of the DPW Maintenance and Improvement Fund if you bonded it.
Based on the current amount we now collect?
We did look at budgeting this in prior year, yes. Does that mean there won't be a water rate or sewer rate increase in the future? No.
We have no control of that. That's what I'm telling you. Yeah. That comes down from the city. So subsequently, we are held victim to whatever happens down the road, and we have to be able to afford it without impacting our citizens any more than they currently are. I bring up inflation right now. I bring up uncertainty right now. God knows where this country's going. It sure the hell ain't down the waterline, I can tell you that.
Well, if you look at the current inflation rate, if they're talking close to 6%, well, that means next year this waterline cost an additional $60,000.
Won't cost us anything if we don't do it.
If you talk to Paul Bailey, because he usually runs some numbers for us and everything on what our water and sewer rates are.
Paul is working on those, but he has had an injury that has prevented him from having those numbers secured for us. Mm-hmm. And right now he's got a staffing issue with some medical issues that has reduced his staff about 25%. So those numbers are something to come in the future.
When will we know, do you anticipate, whether we may hit that 4% mark? In my opinion, that ARPA funds are going to be hard to spend with the restrictions on them if we don't hit that mark.
Yeah.
So I don't want, essentially it's free money, it's not costing taxpayers, it's not going to increase our rates, it's not going to affect much, but those restrictions are there, what we can use it for, and basically infrastructure is the only thing, if we don't hit that 4%, correct? So when do you anticipate knowing that?
Actually, I think that's something that we may have to work with our auditors on.
Okay, so audit time, wait for the audit.
See what can be utilized with the, what's called income for the 2 years, and as we just came to the close of 2021.
Right.
What's the 4%?
The 4.1%, if you don't have revenue more by 4.1% in 2021 over the 2020 revenue.
Okay.
It's considered a loss, and then there's far more flexibility for the use of the ARPA funds.
It generally turns ARPA then into unrestricted general funds to be used for anything.
Yeah.
Instead of the limitations we have on it now.
And I look at the ARPA funds as this is a one shot that we're ever going to see in our lifetimes. How can we utilize it for the best bang for our buck?
And we don't have any estimates on what we're looking like just yet.
No, the auditors need to do some accruals and things like that that will
get the due to
revenue and stuff to clean up.
Yeah. And I'd also like to just go through that too to see what is actually called revenue that we have to count. Because the secret is if we can justify that in 21 we had 4.1% or less more revenue, well then it unrestricts the ARPA funds.
Well, that would be fun. But it does sound like another piece of the puzzle that I'd like to hear out. We're voting on a master plan for the project that this water line would feed next. I talked to a handful of people today who deal with these projects from the municipality side and the funding side. They do believe that unless that water main is a true necessity, which it doesn't sound like it is, their recommendation would be to make sure that you have not just a master plan and potentially funding, but a business plan. If this thing is going to be run by the township, how much is that going to cost us? And a timeline in place before you start dumping $1 million of our money into something. I would much rather put $35,000 into something, and if something bad comes up and it's not going to work out or we have to change it drastically, then put $1.1 million into the ground that doesn't do what our current intention or purpose is for it. I, for one, do like the project for Parker Road. I think it would be a benefit to the township if it's done well and done right. I'm not sure that I'm comfortable and ready to spend that amount of money without all of our ducks in a row.
Well, this is kind of like a timeline of how we got here. In December of 15, we talked about doing a lease with Fort Gratiot Little League to create a sports park on Parker Road. In April of 18, we did contract with Spicer to do a conceptual plan for that sports park. Then in November of 18, we did sign an agreement with Little League, which included that we put in the infrastructure and they would build the ball fields. And that infrastructure includes the water and the sewer connections. Then in 19, the board approved a capital improvement plan, which was required by Eagle. And in that capital improvement plan, we did include the Parker Road water extension. And then in November of 19, we approved having BMJ design and engineer the water line. And then in 19, Eagle requested for priorities of the projects submitted in the township's capital improvement plan. And at that time, Parker Road water extension was the first priority.
Well,
so that's how we got to this point. It was something about setting up the infrastructures for Little League to do a sports park. That agreement has not been terminated, it's still in place. I think it's important that we have the infrastructure for the utilities before we can advance use of the properties along Parker Road. And as you know, we have 262 acres of property between Kerrigan and Keewaden on Parker. That's a resource that we can somehow utilize to our best ability to either create a destination for people to visit Fort Gratiot, and as they visit Fort Gratiot, perhaps they spend money on 24th Avenue in our business district. And as we all know, our business district is what brings the bulk of funds into the front door of the township here. Revenue sharing is generated out of sales tax. That is in excess of $1 million a year. Township operating, what the taxpayers in Fort Gratiot pay, will total approximately $319,000 in their taxes. So doing something that becomes a destination or brings people to Fort Gratiot does support our local businesses, and supporting our local businesses is the bulk of the income to Fort Gratiot.
Mr. Supervisor, again, I would like to reiterate the fact that neither Parker or Kerrigan are paved.
That is true.
So those are not very good arteries to develop a big complex like we're talking about unless paving is put into this estimation. I think you also mentioned in your letter something about, I brought up the fact that we have a wetlands area there. I mean, it's a heavy wetlands area. Parker sometimes floods from one side to the other. Now, your comment was, well, we'll do the ditching. Okay, that's fine. That ditching probably needs to be done. It hasn't been, I don't know what's been done in a while. But is that going to be the resolve that we're seeking? Or is the resolve also to include paving? Another thing I bring up. We currently, I don't know what we pay to use the property over at the current ballpark area. What do we pay the, a dollar? A dollar or whatever. We developed that ballpark. I mean, it's a beautiful ballpark. I'm telling you right now, that's got all the goodies. But what do we do with the fencing and all the things we put in there? Can we reclaim that? Is that ours?
Yes.
So we could reuse that?
Probably not the best idea to reuse some of that fencing over there. That's probably 50 years old. But yeah, if you were trying to economize and use it in different areas, the outfield fences.
And well, the question is, would we leave it there? Would we abandon it?
I don't think at this point you would want to abandon that, because if you look at with building 6 ball fields, say, on Parker Road, you could use the state road field as practice fields where your teams could actually play ball on Parker Road to the new field.
So we'd still be maintaining that area?
That's possible. Well, with the Little League lease that we currently have, Little League would be taking care of those ball fields.
So we wouldn't be cutting grass, we wouldn't be doing the diamonds?
That was part of that lease agreement that we talked about, yes.
Okay.
Now, we've talked about this as being the cart before the horse. I look at it as, if you don't have the infrastructure, you really can't develop it. You gotta have, somebody said, well, if you're building a house, you kind of get the plans together for the house and the cost estimates. Well, where I grew up, if you didn't secure a water source first, you were probably not making the wisest decision, because getting water was the hardest thing to do. It was something that you wanted to get water first before you even considered building.
But we have a source, it's just running it to the site.
Yeah. Do you think this water service will ever go down in cost? No.
I do think that product costs could go down in costs.
If the product costs go down, the labor cost will increase.
I talked to a guy today who has done 2 large projects in the last year or so. I can't remember how long he said it was. both of them came in 30% over budget. And I understand these bids were fairly recent. He says that they haven't seen anything come in on budget in a long time, so this is potentially a lower cost than we even be looking at. And that's across the board with all projects, I understand that, but this is the one that we're talking about right now.
And DeReed, refer to Mr. Kish's questions about the drainage there. The water line, if it were to go in, goes on the west side of the road, which is where the major part of the drainage issue is. So that means as we put the water line in, that ditch has to be reconstructed, and then you'll have the flow hopefully increased to where it's going to the south to Key Wadden for a portion of it, and going to the north to the Thompson Drain.
Who would be responsible for the ditch?
That would be part of the restoration, part of the water line project.
Is that included in here?
Yes, it is.
I don't see it, but that's okay.
It's part of the bids that were made available.
Well, I'd sure like to know if we're going to bond and we're not going to use the COVID monies till we find out what's happening up the road. Somebody has to pay this back. I mean, I'm looking at somebody's in the audience. Somebody has to pay it back. I'd like to know what the payback is. In other words, if we bond the whole thing, what's it costing me as a resident? Is this a 15-year bond, a 20-year bond, a 30-year bond?
I would probably look at 10 years.
Is it a general obligation bond?
And your repayment would be approximately $80,000 a year.
Is it a general obligation bond?
I suspect that it is.
I got rid of all general obligations bonds when I was treasurer because they kept being extended.
Oh, no.
They kept being added to.
To answer your question, then, after your clarification is, no, this is not that type of bond.
Okay.
How long, if we approve a master plan for the project, what's the turnaround? I think it was on the one estimate from here. It was like 2 or 3 months that they would get back to us. How long will it take us to figure out our revenues 21 compared to 20?
I think that will be completed with our 21 audit, those figures. If you're looking at the master plan, what would likely happen with the master plan is you'd spend 2022 developing your master plan and then looking at the different portions of that plan to see how it fits into the grant categories that the DNR has. And the DNR has three grant categories, and you would actually structure your development to fit into those three categories. And you would probably apply in April of 23, and then if approved, those grants would be awarded in 23. And you could start your construction, but the funds really probably wouldn't come in to early 2024, and they would be reimbursement monies anyway.
So it's speculative.
Well, when we had the presentation from Spicer, they looked at developing a plan that would fit in so that you could phase in this development. And phasing in means, okay, if you're actually looking at the plan where you want to build 6 ball fields, a field house, and start a campground, I look at it as, what don't you have first? You don't have a field house, and you don't have a campground. Like you said, we have wonderful ball fields on State Road. So we start in the areas of things that we don't have, and we put those into place, and then we start expanding each year, try to expand with more grants from the DNR. What the Spicer people were saying is once you get your first grants through them, knowing that this is a phased development, They seem to be quite supportive of additional grants for the project. And the DNR grants do not finance the water mains. They can possibly finance the water service lines, but not the water mains. Because that was the first thing I tried to do, was find grants actually to cover this water line service extension.
So I'm understanding that Spicer, who's going to do the project, should we give it to him tonight, will give us costs.
Yes.
We'll have money attached to this. So we can look at the overall cost and whether those costs will be broken down by Spicer in phases.
Yes.
That'd be one thing. And then decide how that's going to fall out. My concern is that we're putting a shovel in the ground. You want to put a shovel in the ground. For what? So we can loop water. That's primarily the reason. That's the reason I get. I mean, even though we have to service all our property that we own, the argument is, well, it loops the water. And it, well, I don't know what it'll do. If what was mentioned here by a citizen, that a lot of this water is already looped, I'm not sure how much looping we need. But I do know one thing. We did a saw grant. It cost us a pretty penny, I thought. And they found a lot of kind of weak spots in our system, which, by the way, I've been in this township nigh on to 50 years. I'm a weak spot. I need my plumbing fixed. But I can tell you, we need a lot of plumbing fixed. I'm thinking up the road. And if I remember right, one such fix was $100,000. This stuff is expensive, folks. And if it all falls down at the same time, good luck flushing the toilet.
You're incorrect about our cost in the SAWS grant. We ended up with a grant for about $725,000, which the total grant was $875,000. We were responsible for the 20% of it.
Doesn't matter. It costs the general public
some
money.
It costs us $87,000.
Well, whatever.
So it looks like on the PMB proposal, they thought the master plan development would take 3 to 4 months. At that point, we'll have a better idea. I have no problem circling back to something like this in 4 or 5 months when we have more information. I just feel like this is premature.
Can I ask, will those costs still be the same in 3 to 4 months? Or will we have to pay BMJ again to get us a bid process, and what would that amount to?
I don't know for how much longer the bid is good for. I'm sure it's got a termination of what it is. I don't have it in front of me tonight, so.
I'm not sure how long that's good for.
Timeline for the master plan? Do that.
What's that, Scott?
Timeline for the master plan?
I think effectively the master plan you're going to do through 2022, and then you would submit for grants in April of 23. And they would consider those grant applications in 23. Normally they do their release of who gets those grants. The other thing that's a wild card out there that we haven't gotten any additional information on is the governor had said something about $450 million being allocated for local parks. And We've heard that, but haven't seen how that's going to be allocated through to local parks. We anticipate that might be just additional funding that's available in the three DNR grant programs.
So your, even your timeline says that we're 3 to 4 years away probably from actual development. So I understand that these new PVC water lines have an incredible shelf life, but it does seem early to me.
Gina, can I ask, with the COVID money, what are the timeframes to spend that, those funds?
We officially have till 2024 to spend it. We received.
To allocate it.
To allocate it.
2026 to actually spend it.
To spend it. We have to designate to them what we're going to use it on. We received half the money this past year, and the other half is supposed to come probably towards the end of 22. So we'll have the full million by the end of this year.
So really, you have to look at getting it all out, though, is what you're saying, by 2024?
We have to designate to them, tell them what we're going to spend it on by 2024.
But it all has to be gone by 26?
Correct. Or we have to pay it back, yes.
Mr. Supervisor, if we agree to have Spicer handle the master plan proposal and generate it and see what the cost might be, whether they be phased or whatever, at least we'd have numbers. Am I correct? Even though the numbers might not be put forward until we get applied for grants and all these other, but at least we'd have some figures about what it might cost to develop this 100 acres. At that time, we may be able to revisit the water line as well. Again, what comes first, what comes last, how is it all handled? I just think there's too much on the table for us to consider tonight. That's my only feeling. It's a gut feeling, I know.
And when we put this water line out for bid, we did put it in that they had a year to construct this, with the completion date being, I believe, June of 2023.
So we got some time to move on it? Is that what you're talking
about? No, that was the time period the contractor had to complete the job.
Okay.
We can adjust if we want to wait 3 months.
So. I attended Spicer's presentation, and what I took from it, and a couple of the other people were here too, was that they were going to look at focus groups to see what the, I guess, utilization was going to be. Is that, I know we're putting the second thing on the agenda now, but I just want to clarify that from there, then they would look at probably helping to secure grants based on how it would have to be phased in. But my assumption is, regardless of all of that, whatever you do, there's probably going to have to be water. I don't know. I guess that's all I'm asking, is that so. Their plan would be utilization of development in phases, correct? That's kind of what I took from their meeting and everything.
I think unless we win the lottery between now and then, yeah.
Yeah.
That it's, I mean, this is a significant project that's going to need to be built in phases.
Right, mm-hmm. When you stagger it, I guess. Mm-hmm. The brokers and partners is kind of what they kind of indicated.
And this, you know, again, talking about the master plan is the development of the property, utilization of the property. You still have to have the utilities in place separately to supply that development.
And we could put them in place because we have time to do it once we get the other figures. Right or wrong?
I think they coincide together.
Well, that's what I'd like. I like the coincide part.
The difference that I look at is the water being necessary in order to have it available for development. Any other questions or comments on it?
long did it take for BMJ to come up with this? I think we authorized it in 2019, or how?
Yeah, we authorized it in 2019, and last year, we were about ready to consider putting it out for bid, and then we did not put the project out for bid because basically everything was kind of sidelined because of COVID and concerned about where revenue would be going. We actually cut back last year to doing just things that were necessary. So again, the board voted recently to put this out for bid, and then we have the results of the bid.
Is there an option to table this item until we do have the results of the master plan from either of the groups that we have a quote from?
It's always that option to table, approve, or deny.
I'd like to make a motion to table item 6 until we have a master plan in place from either Spicer Group or PM Blau.
I'll support.
Just a point of clarification, isn't tabling meaning we have to pick it up at the end of the meeting?
No, it would be postponing the decision to another.
I thought that was take no action. I thought tabling was its own specific parliamentary.
You're the parliamentarian.
I know. That's why raising it.
It actually could come back at the next agenda.
So if you take no action, you just don't vote on it.
Or table it to.
Whatever is most appropriate, that's what I would like to do.
And whatever is most appropriate, I'll support.
What's the proper way, Bob?
So you.
He's actually made a motion to table.
Yeah.
So I think at that
moment. Well, that's fair enough. Yeah, that's a good call.
You see if there's support for that and then go on from that point. But the table, I believe, would be to either a predetermined set date.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. Sorry. Making things more complicated than they need to be.
I think you put a date in there, didn't you, Mr. Brewster?
I'd like to table it. Take no action until we have a master plan from either of the two firms that we have talked to.
I'll support that. I'll move the question forward.
I was giving Bob a chance to.
Oh, okay,
Bob.
Sorry, Bob.
No, you're fine. Just want to make sure I write it down right.
Okay, you want to do a roll call on that?
Armbruster.
Yes.
Crawford.
No.
Bradley.
Yes.
Kish.
Yes.
I am a yes. Oprida.
Yes.
And Bruckner.
Yes.
Okay. We have a table then. Okay. Item number 7. It's my recommendation that we move forward with the proposal from the Spicer Group. They did a presentation where they brought in 4 staff members that have many years of experience in developing park projects. And they have been successful in the last 10 years of bringing in $26 million worth of grants to municipal recreation projects. They brought in some renderings of different projects they've worked on to. They were very impressive, very well versed in the the options of grants that could be available. So that was my recommendation, is to consider Spicer for the master plan.
Is that your motion, Mr. Supervisor?
That's just my recommendation.
I'll move it forward.
I'll support.
I apologize for missing the meeting. The big variable with their cost estimate was basically their site assessment, the topography, and I'm imagining the wetlands.
I don't think there's a wetlands issue, but they wanted the option that if that was necessary, that they'd be able to do that too.
Okay.
And the scope, I think when they met with us too, they're going to have an actual like meeting where we tell them all of the things we want. They don't necessarily know yet each specific thing, so it would adjust the cost based on how much or how little we want them to put in the plan.
They call it a stakeholders meeting.
Stakeholders meeting, I think that's what it's called, yeah.
And both firms actually.
Yeah.
Had that in their proposal.
Yeah, I do like their seeming, the ability that they sounded they have for funding, help with funding afterwards. I'm sure PMP can do similar things, but I like the focus that they have on that. I think they've helped us secure a grant before.
The SALS grant.
So. They may pay for themselves.
We've worked with both firms. PMP actually designed the ballpark. PMP actually designed the Fort Gratiot County Park and has worked with St. Clair County Parks in various projects. Spicer has, of course, worked with us with the sewer system and the SALS grant and the SALS grant administration and our GPS mapping. They also, I believe, were the engineer when we put the concrete walkway on 24th Avenue also.
And I think, what was their timeline, 3 to 4 months? Is that what was indicated in the proposal?
Realistically, there's a grant application deadline of April 1st. In order to get something in place for that April deadline, I don't think is honestly feasible for this year. So like I said, you know, you're looking at this as for 2022, you put your plan together and you tailor your plan as to what pots of money for grants are available. And you do a phased development utilizing those pots of money.
But did they give an estimate how long it takes them to put a master plan together? I know PMP said it was 3 to 4 months. Did they say at the meeting? I didn't see it.
I want to say
they put up a timeline that would be this meeting for this meeting for this.
I want to say, yeah, it was out through like October.
I believe that's what it was, yeah, September or October. And that was actual costs and everything by that time.
Okay.
One of the conversations, if we were to award this contract to them, would be is I would ask, do you have anything that we could work on immediately for the April 1st deadline? Just because it takes basically a year for the state to act on it.
Well, and if you know there's going to potentially be park money out there, you know, to apply for it, you have to have a master plan in place to apply for it, is my understanding. So I hate to have us lose some state money, you know what I mean? And,
well, it's just like there's other pots that I'm trying to get avenue to. Supposedly the federal part of the EDA, which is located centered right out of Chicago, there's supposed to be $250 million for recreation. And some of that is to support border communities. So I look at it as a border community. How can I tap into that? How do we get a portion of that here?
So if they can look at it in a timely manner, I guess, versus time.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
The likelihood of doing something for the grant application in April of 2022 is slim chance. More likely you'd have everything in place for April of 23 application. Any other questions or comments on the motion? Bob, would you call the roll, please?
Crawford.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Kish.
Yes.
I'm a yes. Oprita.
Yes.
Bruckner.
Yes.
And Arbrister.
Yes.
Motion carries. Thank you. Item number 8. Chief, do you want to cover this? I think we have an omission at the compressor to fill the air packs.
Our air packs are becoming obsolete. They're not servicing them anymore. All our BEF bottles expire next year. We also talking to other departments in the area. They have the same concerns, Burksville, Clyde, and Grant. So we went all together and got group pricing on air bottles and SCBAs, and that's what you have in front of you. So to replace our 27 air packs and to get a compressor to fill them, the 27 air packs run $215,211. The compressor to fill them are $63,000. So we're looking at $278,211 to replace our air packs. This was included in that 10-year plan that we had for the millage money. The issue is we're doing it a little bit sooner because the other departments needed them this year. By going with the other departments, we save about $2,500 per air pack. So it's well worth the savings to buy them a little bit in advance. In order to do that, I got to borrow money from my operational fund to cover probably the payments for the ladder truck until our taxes all come rolling in.
So you have it covered, though?
We have it covered, yeah.
I'll move it forward.
Chief, so you want to add the compressor into?
Yeah, on the ladder. Okay. It's in the pricing. It just wasn't stated up in the words of the compressor.
Gotcha. Okay.
So when you get the air packs, if you don't get the compressor, we can't fill the air packs.
Yeah.
Kind of like the cart before the horse.
Yeah, so we need both together.
So the total is $278,211.
Thank you.
I'll support.
And it just depends on when everything comes in, how much I got to borrow out of my my fund balance.
What's the life expectancy on these?
They're usually 15 years.
Okay.
They go for 2 NFPA cycles. So that's usually every 7 years is an NFPA cycle. The air bottles are good for 15 years before you have to replace the air bottles.
So we're set for a while then.
So it would be good for another 15 years, yeah.
Unfortunately, in 15 years, they all need replacing at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, these guys look like they can all breathe pretty good to me. I mean, you know, I haven't seen anybody passing out yet, but I guess you need them, eh?
Chief, those aluminum bottles with carbon fiber.
These are carbon fiber bottles. They're a 4,500-pound bottle, so they give us 45 minutes. Well, it gives these guys 45 minutes. It gives me about 15. But they're a 45-minute bottle, so 4,500 PSI. The ones we got now are 2,100-pound bottles, which is about 30-minute bottle. Everything's the 4,500-pound bottle now. And that's why we need a compressor. We don't have the capacity to fill 4,500-pound bottles anymore.
Okay. Any other questions about the motion? Bob, would you call the roll, please?
Bradley.
Yes.
Kish.
Yes.
I'm yes. Oprita.
Yes.
Bruckner.
Yes.
Armbruster. And Crawford.
Yes. Item number 9. We have the letter of retirement from Captain Firefighter EMT Donald Nuss, effective June 30th of 2022. Don has been with us for decades.
He's just, he'll turn his 40 years this year, so he'll have 40 before he retires. He was hired as our first full-time firefighter 32 years ago. He's a good good fireman, a good captain, a good person. He'll be greatly missed when he does retire.
I'll move it forward.
Support.
Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same, aye. And as just a point of reference to why I do that, it's sad to see a person leave the Fort Gratiot employment, but I am happy for Don that he has this opportunity to retire. And it's just, my little thing is that I hate to see the person leave. I did the same thing with many of our employees. It's just a, my little, it's actually a little way out that I say thank you for the years of service you've done. Board discussion.
Georgia Tree is still down.
Sir.
I asked him that too.
I'm thinking it's starting to grow.
Oh.
I think the root ball's still there. I did not see anything come through Stony Creek looking at those utility boxes that I mentioned. I don't know whose responsibility that is, but I'm sure they're not super dangerous, but I guess I'd hate to see someone come around and start digging around or kids start.
Comcast, are they cable? What are they?
The one that's totally exposed, it's in front of my neighbor's house. It's just, it looks like it's just two lines. But there's a handful of them that were either destroyed or at least damaged. So I guess it's just something I was.
We don't know who owns those pieces of whatever?
The properties have houses on them.
No, I'm just saying, who do those belong to? I mean, which utility?
No idea.
Somebody needs to ask, I guess.
The ones in my front yard are too big, so they didn't mess with them.
Okay. Sharon, I had put you on the spot, but did you cover the Walmart shop with a hero?
Sure, so we got a grant from Walmart for $5,000. And we were able to help about 20 families this year, right before Christmas, on the 23rd of the fire department. And we also helped the surviving children of the house fire that the whole one was lost in. So we were able to get the sheriff's department some gift cards, and they bought presents for those little boys. And so each family, the kids got a $100 gift card each, and then they got stuff for Christmas dinner, ham and all kinds of stuff to roll. So we did that on the 23rd.
Nice.
Any other board discussion? There was a tragic fire on Able Drive recently with the loss of a life. And I did communicate with our fire chief and our employees that were in the fire department during the day. I did see the helmet and the disfigured shield on the front of the helmet from those people that attempted to enter that home. And I'm sorry that checking in with those things did not satisfy what was apparently expected of me, but I did go through and try to follow up on those things. And so it's a tragic situation that just simply should not have happened. One of the things after this fire that I suggested to Sharon is that when we do the shop with the hero, that maybe one of the things that we drop into the shopping bag there is a smoke detector or a certificate saying that if you need a smoke detector, that we would bring one out and install it, just as a thing to try to avoid this tragedy type again.
With that said, Steve Kelly is working hard on putting together a smoke detector program. He's reaching out to a lot of local communities. Nick Kriegos, he does our school education. He key pushes the spoken factors we ask the teachers and the students. If they don't have spoken detectors, let us know. So we're pushing really hard, but Steve stepped up. He's going to put together a program that we can hand out spoken detectors. So once he gets it together, I'll give a copy to the board so we can see what we're trying to do. And this is all came right from Steve, so I congratulate Steve for stepping up and doing that. It all comes because of this fire. We didn't find one smoke detector in that house when we did our investigation after. So just with that little bit of extra notice, things could have been a lot different. So.
People don't realize how cheap those detectors are and how important they are. And to change the battery. In fact, before I came here tonight, I changed 10 batteries in my smoke detectors throughout the house.
We offer batteries as well.
What's that?
We offer batteries.
Yeah, I know, you know we do.
Well, we give batteries out. If you, anytime we go out for Scarecrow or everything, we bring a smoke detector with us.
Yep.
We're just trying to put together a better program and better PR. We're going to make some videos just to get the word out there. And hopefully it'll get to the people that really need it.
Yeah, it's tragic not to have them in a house.
Tough day for those that were there, and we obviously thank you guys for responding to that stuff. And the guys who weren't there, I'm sure I wish you would have been. I feel like as a board, we have been pretty receptive to anything that you guys have needed, and I think we continue to be able to do so, support you and give you guys everything that you need to respond to these things. Yeah, I can't imagine for those guys that were there going through that day. You guys are probably tougher individuals than I'll ever be, and I certainly appreciate what you guys give the township.
I have one more item. One of our retirees that has worked for us part-time for the past 2 years was taken to the hospital yesterday. And let's just keep Wally in our thoughts. And with that, if there's no other board discussion, any citizens wishing to address the board? Again, any citizens wishing to address the board? Hearing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Support.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed the same, we are adjourned.